Well, good morning again. Instead of turning to Habakkuk, please turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. For the day that's in it, we're going to take a short break from Habakkuk. Romans chapter 10, verses 12 to 17. Romans 10, 12 to 17. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Rome, says, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? How are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Our Father in heaven, as we consider these words this morning, on this day, we pray that you would bless us and encourage us with the gospel of your Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Remind us again of the gospel, and remind us why we are sending. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is a significant day in the life of our church. It's significant because today, as mentioned already, a number of our brothers and sisters who would normally gather with us in this room at this time to worship the Lord are instead meeting together in Carrigtwohill. Today is the first Monday morning meeting of the Carrigtwohill church plant. And if you've been a member or even just a regular attender here for any length of time, you'll know that we have been working towards this for a very long time. And you'll know that these meetings will continue to go ahead on the last Sunday of every month for the rest of this year. The goal being in the new year to commence Sunday morning services every week, and to establish a new church in Carrigtwohill. This church plant has been in the works for over 7 years, and now today it begins in earnest. Today is a significant day in the life of our church. So instead of continuing through Habakkuk, which would have been fine, I want us to use our time this morning to reflect on the significance of this day, and to remind ourselves from God's word about why we are doing this. My sermon this morning is going to be very simple. We're going to look at this short passage from Paul's letter to the Romans and reflect on two very simple points. The first is the promise of the gospel for everyone. The second is the preaching of the gospel to everyone. The promise of the gospel for everyone, and the preaching of the gospel to everyone. Firstly, then, in verses 12 to 13, Paul speaks about the promise of the gospel for everyone. And the promise of the gospel, he says, is this, verse 13, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everyone. God's promise of salvation to every person who calls on the name of Jesus in simple faith and repentance. And he says there's no distinction, verse 12, between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is the Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. Now, if you go back and if you were to read the rest of the letter to the Romans, which if you haven't done so already, I highly recommend, you'll see that Paul spends a lot of time in this letter explaining to the Roman church how the coming of Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection, fits into the big picture of God's redemptive plan, his plan of salvation for all of history, and especially how the coming of Christ fits into God's plan for the Jewish people whom he had chosen and entered into a covenant with. And Paul's point, especially in chapters 9, 10, and 11, is that there is one message of salvation for both Jews and non-Jews, which he refers to here as Greeks. Jesus is the Savior of all who call on him. And God's plan throughout history, including his covenants with the Jewish people, has all been leading up to and preparing the way for the coming of Christ, who is the Savior of the world. Jesus came from the Jewish people. He was Jewish. And he lived and died and rose again to accomplish salvation for all those who would trust in him, whether they be Jewish or not. And this church in Rome that Paul is writing to was made up of believers who had come, many of whom had come from a Jewish background and many who had come from non-Jewish backgrounds. So there was a cultural divide between these two groups that usually would never have anything to do with each other. The Jews would have felt like, no, they are outside of the covenant. We are God's chosen people. We have the law. We have the temple. We have the right worship of Yahweh. And they are outside. They are the Gentiles. They are unclean. But now, through faith in the one Lord Jesus Christ, here they are all in church together. And they need help understanding how the gospel has made them into one people. Really, not just, hey, just pretend you're one people. But no, actually you are one people. There are no separate classes within the church. The gospel has made you into one people. And that same gospel message now shapes and directs how you should treat one another and live alongside one another as fellow Christians. And Paul drives this point home a number of times in Romans, and here in verses 12 to 13, he does it again. He says there's no distinction. He doesn't mean there's no difference in your background or your culture. He's not ignoring your background. But he's saying when it comes to where you stand before God, when you stand before God, there is no distinction. Why? Because the same Lord is Lord of all. Jesus is the Lord of all people. And he saves all kinds of people. Jesus doesn't look down at this world and say, I'll save that type of person, but not those people over there. Or I will be the savior of that ethnic group, but not that ethnic group over there. Or I will redeem a certain class of person, but not the others. No, he is the Lord of all people, and he saves without any distinction. We live in a world that is so quick to label people, don't we? And divide them according to their class or their ethnicity or their political stance. And against all of this is the gospel, which says that before God there is no distinction. God himself says it doesn't matter whether you come from a good family or an absolute mess of a family. Whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you're highly educated or barely educated, whether you're black or white, smart or not so smart, religious or godless, if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in simple faith and repentance, you will be saved. That is the promise of the gospel. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Everyone is invited in to the kingdom of God. A few months ago, myself and Roxy took our kids on holidays down to Kerry, and we decided to take our kids to a local hotel that had these lovely grounds that you can walk around. We've been there before, and the kids absolutely loved it. And there's no sign saying, like, you can't come in unless you're a resident. We've been there plenty of times before, no problem. You know, you buy something in the cafe, and it was lovely. And we went down there in July, peak season, and there was a man standing at the gate, and he stopped the car and he said, are you a resident? And I said, no, I'm not. He's like, I'm sorry, you can't come in.
And I said, oh, I said, we've been here before. We just go in and walk around the grounds. He's like, I know. He was very nice. He said, I'm sorry, you can't come in. It's for residents only. Which is fine. It's a private business. It's not the end of the world. We had a nice time down in Sneem. But I was thinking about it. There's this beautiful gate leading into this beautiful garden. And think about Jesus who came out of heaven to welcome us in and to bring us in when we weren't even looking for him. Jesus does not stand at the gates of heaven and saying, you can't come in, you can't come in. He says, everyone who will believe in me will have eternal life and I will welcome them into my kingdom. Is that not glorious? Everyone, the worst of us, all we need to do is come to him in simple faith. The only thing you bring to your salvation is the sin that made it necessary. There is no distinction. We're all in the same boat. We all need the same grace of God. In Romans chapter 3, Paul uses that same phrase when he says this, there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, his glory being his perfection, his moral perfection, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We have all fallen short. Christianity levels the playing field for the entire human race by saying we have all fallen short. We are all sinners in desperate need of God's grace. So that means I can't look down on you and you can't look down on me because we're all debtors of grace. The moment that we realize our own personal sinfulness before God is the moment we are really ready to call on the Lord and be saved. It's not until you realize how completely spiritually bankrupt you are that Christ becomes precious to you. When you realize before God, I am broke, suddenly you realize that he has bestowed all his riches upon you. What need can you possibly bring to Jesus this morning that he cannot meet out of his riches? Jesus, I am a sinful man. He says, here, take my sinless perfection. Jesus, I have done terrible things. Here is my shed blood that atones for them all. It is finished. Jesus, I feel so ashamed of the things I have done. I bore your shame on that cross. It is finished. Jesus, I have broken all of God's laws. I was born under the law to redeem those under the law. Jesus, I can't fix myself. Receive my Holy Spirit who will strengthen and sanctify you. Jesus, I'm afraid of dying. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. Jesus, I have nothing to offer you. Take my riches, all of them, and come into my kingdom. Jesus, I am a sinner. Your sins are forgiven. Now follow me. Friends, this is the gospel. Our poverty being met with the riches of Jesus Christ. We are all sinners without distinction. And we are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ through faith without distinction. God's kingdom expands and churches are planted by proclaiming this gospel. And we grow in our faith as Christians, not by moving on from the gospel, but by helping each other live out all of its implications according to Scripture. This is the message that we have the privilege of proclaiming here in Middleton. And it's the same message that will now be proclaimed in Carrick Tool this morning. The promise of the gospel is for everyone. Secondly, then, the proclamation of the gospel to everyone. Why are we planting a church in Carrick Tool? The answer is in verses 14 and 15. Paul says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? How are they to preach unless they are sent? Paul's questions form a logical chain, beginning with the sending out of preachers or proclaimers of the gospel that leads to the salvation of those who hear and believe and call on the Lord. He's making a very simple but vital point in these verses. The only way for people to be saved is by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way they can do that is if they believe in him, in who he is and what he has done. And they can't believe in him unless they hear about him. And they can't hear about him unless someone preaches to them. Now, it's interesting, he doesn't just stop there. You'd be like, okay, that makes sense. They can't hear unless someone preaches. Why does he add another question? And what is another question? Start to 15. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Like, if that was missing, would you miss it? Why does he make the point of saying, he doesn't just end with, they can't hear unless they're preached to. He asks another rhetorical question. They can't preach unless they're sent. When the Apostle Paul thinks about the gospel going forth and sinners receiving salvation through faith in Jesus, it all starts in his mind with sending. Sending people to preach or proclaim that message. Because unless they're sent, he asks, how can they preach? As we look around the room this morning, we see and feel the absence of those who have gone to Carrick Tool. People who would usually sit beside us and chat to us after the service who are not here. They'll be back next week, but eventually they will go and not come back. And the temptation for us, I think, the temptation for me, is to speak about their absence as a loss. You know, it's sad that we're losing people to Carrick Tool. What I want us to do as a church is to look at what has happened this morning and look at their absence through the lens of what Paul is saying in these verses. Their absence is not because we have lost them. It's because we are sending them. We, Middleton Baptist Church, have sent them to Carrick Tool because if we don't send them, who will? We have sent them. And that's why they're not here this morning. And because we have sent them, we know that the gospel will be preached in Carrick Tool by God's grace year after year after year. Telling the people of Carrick Tool, who are growing in number every day, about the Lord Jesus Christ who saves without distinction. Some of those we have sent will literally preach from a pulpit, like Seth will do this morning. Most others will preach, as it were, in their conversations with those they live with, in their evangelism, and in other ways. The point is that in all kinds of ways, they will bring the gospel regularly and communally to Carrick Tool, to those who need it. Will everyone who hears the gospel believe it? No. That's what Paul says in verse 16. They've not all obeyed the gospel, but some will. And for those who do, they will understand what Paul meant when he quoted Isaiah in verse 15. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You might be thinking, why would you say how beautiful their feet are? Because it's by their feet that they have walked to you with the good news of Jesus Christ. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Brothers and sisters, I want you to take a moment and think about the person or the people
who first brought the good news of Jesus Christ to you. For some of you, you'll be thinking way back in time. For some of you, you'll be thinking only a few years ago. Who was the first person who shared the gospel with you? Maybe it was a preacher in the pulpit or a pastor. Maybe it was a missionary. Maybe it was a parent or family member, which is just amazing if that is your story. Praise God. But let me ask you that. If it is your family, how did they hear? Who brought the gospel to your family? Even if that gospel witness goes back generations, who brought the gospel to them or to their area? Someone had to come and tell them. Once you start to trace back the line of the gospel through your personal history, you'll probably find it involves someone being sent to you or to the place that you lived. For me, it was John and Holly Hepworth who moved to the United States to Ballincollig in the 1980s. And as expensive as houses are in Ballincollig now, I can tell you the 1980s, it was not a particularly nice place to live. John used to go around in our housing estate in the evenings with his Bible, knocking on doors and doing his best to tell people about Jesus. And he knocked on our door when I was a young boy, and my dad told him, "No, thank you." And he said to my dad, "If you allow me into your house, and at any point you ask me to leave, I'll leave and I'll never come back, I promise you." Because my dad had had the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, and they did not leave. So my dad said, "Okay." And he invited him in, and my dad asked him all the questions he could think of, and John answered them from the Bible. And ultimately that led to our family attending that church, to me hearing the gospel and being saved. What would have happened if John and Holly Hepworth had not been sent to Ireland? What if their local church back home was not interested in missions or in evangelism? What about you? What would have happened if the person who brought the gospel to you had never been sent and never came to you? It would be a mistake, I think, to answer that question by saying, "God always saves his elect, so he would have saved you some other way." That is 100% true, and it's not the point. God always saves his elect. But the point is that he uses the obedience of his people in sending proclaimers and preachers of the gospel. I thank God for all those who sent John and Holly, and Ernie and Nancy, and Jesse. Who is it for you? I wonder, can you picture a face, or remember a name, or even a memory of when they first told you about Jesus? Think about that person. And now think about those who we have sent to Carrigtwohill this morning. By God's grace, they will be that messenger for someone else. They will be the first link in the chain that leads to salvation for someone else. They will proclaim Jesus Christ where he has not yet been proclaimed in Carrigtwohill. There are people who live in Carrigtwohill right now, people who have no idea that this is the first meeting of Carrigtwohill Baptist Group. They couldn't care less. And yet in God's plan of love and redemption, will one day hear about Jesus through the witness of that church and be saved. They will hear and call on the name of the Lord. Middleton's loss is Carrigtwohill's gain, and that gain is more than we can ever imagine at this moment in time. I have three concluding short thoughts for us as a congregation. Number one, it is okay to feel sad and to miss those who have gone. It's okay. Please don't hear me say, if you're a really mature Christian, you wouldn't be sad that they're gone. You'd just be like, they're sent and that's good and there's no point being sad about it. That'd be weird. We can be happy that a church is being planted and sad that people we love are no longer going to be with us every Sunday. Embrace both of those things. And don't be surprised if you still feel sad even weeks and months from now and still miss them. Secondly, pray for the future of Carrick Tool. Pray for this church to be well established. Don't assume that everything will go fine. Pray that God will strengthen and protect and bless this work. Pray that they will always preach the gospel and that they will never stray from that message. Pray for the people in Carrick Tool to call on the name of the Lord through this ministry, that they might be saved. Thirdly and finally, to the members of this church, I say this: participate in the future of Middleton. Ask yourself, if you're a member, how can I serve? Some of you are serving flat out. I'm laying no burden on you. Laying no burden on anyone. But I want to encourage you. Ask, how can I serve? We will be a smaller group after this church plant. And we are all to serve with the giftings God has given us for the building up of the church. If you're not a member of this church and you attend regularly, let me simply ask you this. Why not become a member of this church? Join and help. We understand the membership simply to reflect those who say, this is my church. I submit to this church. And I serve here. It's good to think of the future in Middleton, because there are so many in Middleton who have yet to hear the gospel. And we have so much work yet to do here. As we finish, I just want you to think again about the opening verses from Revelation 5 this morning. And remember Jesus Christ seated in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. Remember that Jesus is worthy of all praise. Remember that he is able to accomplish all of God's purposes and plans to bring all things to their rightful end when he returns to judge the living and the dead. So we can go forward from today trusting him and knowing that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail, either in Middleton or in Carrick Tool. Let's pray. Father, bless those who right now are worshipping you in Carrick Tool. We pray you establish this church as a gospel witness, and Lord, that they will never stray from that message, but continue to proclaim it. Lord, what begins as something so small, we pray that you would make into a mighty, strong, faithful congregation. And Lord, that we would look back on this day, even from the vantage point of eternity, and see what marvelous things you will accomplish through this small thing as it begins today. Bless us, we pray, as we miss those who are heading out from us. And help us to think, Lord, that they are not a loss, but their absence, Lord, is because we are sending them. And yet it's okay to feel sad because they're not here. Help us, Lord, to think rightly through this. Bless us, we pray. And we bless your name. In Jesus' name. Amen.